Welcome to Candidly Coleman, y'all. I'm so excited to have our next guest coming down to the pipeline of Candidly Coleman, and it's none other than the devastating, the insatiable, amazing. The words can't, they just escape me. Debbie Brown is a beast among beasts. I mean, when I tell you that my appreciation for her craft and her skill go far beyond what the eye and the ear can definitely imagine. She has just a legacy in this radio game. She's an OG of radio. She is a Deepak Chopra certified meditation specialist. She is an expert on all things imaginable. She's a badass, a boss, not to mention she's a wife and a mother. And Debbie and I share a special connectivity, not only because she was on the inaugural class for the Super Bowl Hall of Fame honorees, but because she, like me, we have this whole human jukebox experience that we got going on. So life for us is constantly music. And we speak to people through music. Music speaks through our life. And our connection goes far beyond there. But I want to welcome Debbie to the Candidly Coleman podcast. Welcome her to our community. And just know that she is definitely going to be dropping gems on this particular episode. So you guys get ready, buckle up, break out your super bold journals and your pens, and get ready to write down some notes, because we're going to take this thing to the next level on things that you need and want and how to create a better synergy for your whole entire life. So everybody, welcome. Join me in welcoming Debbie Brown to Candidly Coleman.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey. I am so, so beyond thrilled and excited. And I know you could hear it in my voice, the enthusiasm. And just so that you guys who are listening out there know, today is actually Good Friday. So it's about to be a for real Good Friday with what we're going to share and experience today. But I've had several interruptions in this recording. I've had several failures in regarding to the technology not working, my kids popping up, my little girl wanting nails painted, hair braided, all during the same time. But we keep this thing rocking and we keep it rolling. So if you hear any other interruptions going on through this particular podcast, know that life is real and it gets realer on the other side of everything, whether you're trying to create. And there's no such thing called perfection. We just grow and we groom through it. So thank you, Debbie, for your patience. Thank you just for simply being you and for being here today.
Oh my gosh, all good. And like I told you when we weren't recording, if the kids pop in, just keep rolling. It's part of life.
That it is. Three littles keep me on my toes, tippy at that at all times. But instead of like just going through your bio, because I have your bio, I have all of the notes. Tell people, you know, tell my people who you are specifically.
Oh, Lord. I am a lady that has worked in radio and media for many years. I now work in the wellness space. I am an entrepreneur, a small business owner. I have a new baby who at this particular moment is 11 months old. He's 11 months old. And yeah, you know, I'm just somebody that is looking to give their life as much effort as humanly possible in each moment, whatever that means. And from day to day, it will be different.
Absolutely. One thing about, so I didn't want to go through just like the line items of who you are. The way that I connected to Debbie initially is that prior to now living in Silicon Valley, because now we're both in the West Coast, she's in Southern California, I'm in Northern California, we were both living in Houston. And Debbie was my favorite radio personality on a local radio station back in the H. And something about her energy just connected to me. And me personally, you know, I've done radio in my past. And so I kind of like a lot of things become white noise to me, but people's energy, that doesn't, you know, there's something about even through the airwaves, there was just something about the way that you were intentional about sharing who you were, sharing your insight, the intentionality that just really kind of captivated me. And there was just something to me that said, she's one to watch. keep your eye on her because she's going to have more of an influence than not. And that's just not necessarily my particular thing. I'll share it in this way. A friend of mine once told me, she said it of me specifically. She said when she first met me, she was like, it was your light that attracted me to you. And she said, but you have to be careful of that because many people are attracted to the light. But what happens is it's that same light that will expose people as well. And so I was like, that was just kind of like a gem that was dropped to me in life. And I was like, gosh, she just has this magnetism that is so genuine. And in today's society, you meet a lot of people that kind of not only put on for the gram, but they put on for whatever a situation requires. And you just were consistently who you were and made no apologies for that. You are Tupac's biggest fan. You are, you know, you do sound meditation. You know the power of forgiveness. You understand healing, your ability to meditate. You know, all of those things were like, oh my gosh, I gravitate because there's so many nuggets that she possesses that I want to touch or to dig deeper into. So I just kind of want to just share a little bit about like your journey because you've come up through radio. You've been a media maven. You are a best-selling author. You have products galore. You now have a boss-ass podcast, but you're also a person for the people. And so how, I don't necessarily, now in my life, I don't necessarily believe in balance. I believe in prioritizing. How are you navigating through this vast life that you have now created for yourself?
Overly simple, right? This is sometimes something that is a little tough for me when I do interviews because I know that people want to like hear really breakthrough words sometimes, like have a plan of action that I could list off. Well, first start here, then do this. And I don't want to oversimplify it, but I just do what feels right and what feels like it will lead me to the greatest good of myself and those connected to me. And I just try to not get too caught up in being of the world. I think that's as best as I can say it. You know, I've we all have our stories. We all come to the table with our traumas. You know, we all have our experiences that can either make us build a wall or break the wall down. I just try to keep my worldview as one that looks at challenges as keys to unlocking myself. Challenges at work, challenges at home, any painful experiences. You know, I try my best to live by the Rumi quote, two Rumi quotes I try my best to live by. One is, the wound is the place where the light enters. Mm. So anytime I feel, that something isn't necessarily going, quote-unquote, right, or I'm having challenges in maybe a new project or in a friendship, you know, I just remember that whatever is that trigger, that painful place, it's also like this beautiful entry point for more light to enter me. You know, so I try to really approach my life in a fearless manner like that and in a manner that is completely detached from having expectations on outcome. And I just try to be very present in each moment and very realistic. You know, we are living in the world where we're these spiritual beings that are living on earth to have this experience of humanity. And part of what that entails is going to be some of the magic of being human, right? Like some of the great things we like about our lives. But it also means that, you know, we are living in a place that fundamentally was built to be unfair and to have challenge. And I think the sooner we accept that things are rarely going to, quote unquote, go right, rarely be perfect, and things aren't always going to add up to the most fair outcome for us, I think the easier it is to enjoy the great things about life and to not get thrown off course by the less than ideal situations. So, you know, I think, and also let me just backtrack, the second Rumi quote that I love that really changed my life is, seek the wisdom that will untie your knot seek the path that demands your whole being. I want to repeat that last part. Seek the path that demands your whole being. That is really the mantra of my life. I try to step into the good moments and the tough moments with the same level of gratitude, surrender, and openness. I don't always do the best job. I'm just a human. But that is what I strive for. That is the reminder that I keep for myself. So I'm not necessarily balancing it all. I'm just doing my best in each moment, you know, and I'm living by what my personal creed and mission is, the things, you know, what my core belief system is. I just try to put everything up against that. And you shared like super beautiful words about me just a couple moments ago, and I so appreciate that, and I absolutely honor and see that same light in you. And I think, you know, I think what would come across with me on the radio, or what like some of my listeners in the past at different places I've worked have connected with, or that they've referenced authenticity, it's not that I'm like more authentic than the regular person. It's just I try to strip myself of anything that isn't truly me. So I try to strip myself of ego, you know, like I don't need, I think especially like when you work in entertainment, it's such a field where you're supposed to portray yourself as being so grand, and you kind of want to be up here while people are down there or just beneath you. And that's never something I've subscribed to. We are all human beings. We are all just as valuable as the next person. You know, so I always use like my role in media just as a way to connect, grow, learn, while also simultaneously teaching anything that I had to offer.
That is so, I mean, I'm just over here trying to swallow everything that you have, you've just like, you know, put on this particular plate, because just if we can be transparent, I'm just in a very vulnerable place in my life right now. I have shifted in so many areas and levels. And, you know, a big thing about me is I am a mom. I'm a mom of three toddlers. I have a son who's just turned five. So I don't even know if I can still say three toddlers now that he's a new five, and the 3-year-old twin girls. And I've left corporate America and I've done all of these other things, but I still feel like a part of me is voided because I am now relinquished to being primarily a caretaker, right? Like it is my responsibility. God has gifted me with the ability to pour into my children in a very specific way. He has given me the gift of, and one thing that you may not know, one of our twins was recently diagnosed with being on the autism spectrum. If I had to maintain a full-time job right now, I would not be able to be at all of the appointments, therapy sessions, and do all the things that were required for my daughter. So I realized that although I focus a lot on the sacrifice, I need to shift into recognizing that this gift that I've been given is one that is specific for me and specific for the task that I have been chosen to accomplish at this time. And so I know that you've talked recently a lot about stretching yourself. When you've been stretched, what do you think one of the greatest lessons you've learned in that season of being stretched?
You know, I think every time you're in a space of being stretched, it's always going to be a different lesson because it depends on what you particularly need to learn in that season. Sometimes it's the same lesson because the lesson repeats as needed, you know? So if you didn't really dive into it at another point, you'll find that it has resurfaced in some type of way. But I think for me, the best thing that I live by when it comes into being in a challenging season that is requiring you to grow in a way that you haven't before, it's simply to surrender and relinquish all sense of control, relinquish all attachment to outcomes. You know, and it's a frustrating space to be in. It's definitely not one that you're necessarily saying, okay, here we go, I surrender. You know,
right.
But it's more so a place where you can just say, fuck, I don't know. I am going to completely surrender to the fact that I don't know. And surrender to the fact that I know that everything is ultimately for my greatest good. And that's just kind of whenever I'm in that season, that's what I do. Sometimes, you know, I'm self-aware enough in that moment to recognize, oh, man, I know this is familiar. I know why this is happening.
Right.
I know that this is something that I did not fully let go of before, or this is something that I have not fully done my part to grow, and I knew I should have. Okay, I accept this, and I need to do the work, you know? And sometimes it comes in a form that shakes your faith and that you really don't understand why.
Yeah.
Why is this how I have to learn? Why is this? But I have these plans, but I've done this before. Why don't you take it easy on me this time, God, you know?
Yeah.
And in those really real, real moments, you know, of frustration, and it's okay to be frustrated with your universe. It's okay to be frustrated with God. We're in an unfair place. We're in a world that is meant to break us and rebuild us. So he expects that of us. You know, he expects us to question him sometimes and to not get it. But I think that the saving grace and really the catalyst for being able to put that pattern behind or grow in a new way is just to really stop trying to make it make sense and just choose to surrender to the things that you don't know or understand and take it day by day. Something I love to do when I feel like a season like that coming on, or sometimes we feel those familiar tinglings of like a depression creeping on, right? What I do in those moments is I just prepare for the breakdown. You know, I know it's coming. I know it has to happen. So I prepare for it. You know, I start rereading old journals or re-looking at quotes, you know, that are meaningful to me, or reading passages out of books that have always helped me. And sometimes I'll start making, like, note cards and putting them up on my mirror, you know, in the bathroom. Or I'll make it a point to say, okay, I know kind of maybe a season of discomfort is coming, so I need to up my daily practice.
Mm.
So instead of trying to squeeze in 15 to 20 minutes, I might say, listen, for the next several weeks, I'm waking up an hour before my kids.
Yeah.
I'll spend an hour in that practice. And, you know, for me, my practice consists of, I do a lot of, like, sound baths. I have a sound bowl, so I start in my day by clearing my chakras with that frequency. I meditate for 20 minutes in the morning. I then do my affirmations and my mantras, and then I spend time reading a few pages out of a book that I love, that just reminds me of lessons that I've already learned, but that I need to remember, you know? And then I kind of just say a prayer and just surrender to the openness, you know? I'm a big believer that to learn your lesson or to get your message, you don't have to be broken. God only puts you in a position to be broken when you're not truly open.
Right.
So I try my best. Tell God, you don't have to teach me through pain. I'm open. I'm open to you. I'm open to what I need to know. I'm open to a place of acceptance that in this moment, this is my reality, and that reality is perfect.
That is reality, so powerful.
Like, is perfect.
That is so powerful, especially just kind of where I know I am right now, just mentally, physically, emotionally, where I just feel drained and sucked and just depleted in every area. I saw this coming, right? Like, I knew that this would happen, but I did not prepare myself. And that's so crazy because I prepare everything else. Like, I prepare my kids for, you know, the week or weeks, and I prepare, you know, my household, and I prepare, you know, everything else. But I took a back seat in this season. Yeah. Or I took a back seat because who's doing that for me? And that too is still my responsibility. And it did not come as a surprise or shock because, again, I had the map. I heard a young lady say, she was a sixth grade student back in Houston, and she said, anytime that you find yourself in the forest and you wonder, why am I here? How did I get here? She's like, just reach in your back pocket because you have your own internal GPS and map for that. You know exactly how you got there, but you know how to get out of there as well because you've been designed and destined for this. The forest is a part of your journey. So whatever you do in your forest experience, that's still yours and you got to own it. And I just have to own. And again, sixth grade, right? What are you, 11, 12? And the depth of that resonated in my soul so deeply because instead of feeling sorry for myself or confused as to, I know this all, I know what to do, I got to do it, but I'm not applying those tools, I remembered that I have my own internal GPS, just like you do and everyone else who's out there who's listening. And I can recalibrate. And I can, you know, what does that GPS tell you if you've gotten off track or off route? Rerouting or, you know, whatever that automate.
Right.
Rerouting. And so how do you reroute to get to the place that you know you're destined to be? And that's just, you know, that's the song that we all sing, like you said, that makes us all human and that creates that, you know, the power for where we can all be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful. I love that.
And Mason, and we have Miss Mason who is joining us as well, who decided to be a part of your interview, who wants to drop a few gems as well. So I'm sure she just wanted to be a little intentional in her sadness right now because she wasn't close to mommy. She just wanted to be intentional about receiving information about one of the things that I've heard you talk about before is the power of forgiveness. And you've been so just poignant in your position on what forgiveness means and what that looks like. And I would love for you to kind of share a tidbit of that with the audience.
So I think you might have me confused with someone else.
No.
So I absolutely believe in forgiveness, because what forgiveness really just is staying open, and it's being an acceptance of what life currently is, right?
Right.
But for me, I mean, forgiveness is an ever-evolving understanding, and it's something that I try to do intentionally, but not necessarily, like, how do I describe? There's so much pressure on the word forgiveness.
That's true.
That word is, you know, it's a man-made word. We created it when we created our language. And so sometimes we use it to describe things in a way that is not necessarily serving. You know, I used to find the concept of forgiveness very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was younger, I lived in a state of thinking that things were supposed to be fair, and that's how you could move past them, right? That there was some level of justice or atonement or karma that took place, and that's what allowed you to forgive. Something that I've realized at this moment in my life, you know, we have to look at forgiveness merely as an extension of how we end our own suffering.
Wow.
Think that forgiveness, according to the Webster's Dictionary, and in understanding forgiveness, I'll tell you, I actually started writing down what forgiveness meant in different cultures and how it was defined. I'm reaching across my desk right now. I'm going to try to find this note that I took on forgiveness. I'm in this spiritual psychology program right now, and I was asking some of the lecturers all these questions about forgiveness, actually. Let's see if I can find it. I may have to just text it to you at a later point so I don't take up too much time scanning my notes.
But well, that's all good.
Anyway, I think we have to get out of the mind frame of looking at something. And this is difficult, and this is going to be a lot to chew, and it typically takes a lifetime to get to this understanding, right? So it's still something I'm working on. But we have to get out of the space of judging the experiences that happen to us and get out of the space of making something right or wrong, right? Because at the core of it, things just are.
Yeah.
It just is what it is, you know? And the action will not be deleted from our heart space or our life because someone apologized or because someone made it right. Like, what happens just happens. And it is 100%, our joy and our suffering is 100% based on our own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
In every situation and in every category, things will never be fair. We just have to move into a space of accepting that things are. And ultimately, if we stay open, it will be for our greater good. So, you know, the forgiveness is for us. But more importantly, like, to forgive doesn't mean that something didn't happen. And it doesn't mean that you weren't hurt or in pain. It just simply means that you don't want to live there. Whether or not that person is asking for your forgiveness or not is irrelevant. Whether or not that person cares that you forgave them is irrelevant. It's just about how much joy and peace you want to hold on to in your everyday life.
Whew.
Hope that answers the question.
That's beyond, like, so I've heard you speak on forgiveness and, you know, in just different spaces or kind of what that means and in the broader sense. And it just gives a different perspective to, like you said, what we know it to be from the man-made word. And I've always, you know, subscribed to life is not fair. Life is not unfair. Life just is. And our experiences in that life are exclusively our own. And we decide, you know, how we react or how we grow from those particular experiences. We can do that later. Thank you. How we grow from those particular experiences. And I've just been more grounded in that same type of philosophy, in knowing that ultimately it doesn't matter if you feel wronged and you accept, you know, an apology or, you know, on the opposite side of that particular spectrum. If you've wronged, it is about how you move forward and how you choose to not live in that experience. One of the quotes that have been floating around more so recently since Nipsey Hussle's untimely passing talks about the fact that we don't possess people, we experience them. And in that same vein, it just highlights the fact that everything that we do is an experience of life. And how we move forward and how we touch other people's lives is a part of their experience and ours simultaneously. So one of the things that I've always thought about is that in an orchestra, and I've thought about my own life personally that way, and I feel like I'm in this position right now. Have you ever played an instrument, Devi?
Not really.
Okay.
I took flute and violin when I was in school, but I didn't practice, so I don't know how to do either.
Okay. So I don't play an instrument for real either. I can kind of play a couple chords on the piano. I can play Lean On Me. Let me be real honest. Let me just be real clear. I can play Lean On Me on the piano. Like, I know how to do that. I can't even play Mary Had a Little Lamb, but I can throw down on Lean On Me. Somehow I figured that out. But I realized that when you play an instrument, that's definitely a craft, and that most people who are serious about that art, they go for what is called the first chair, right? And the first chair in an orchestra and in music, that's the lead. That's the showcase. You are the Beyonce of that particular instrument, right? And nobody is necessarily going up for second chair, but a second chair must be filled. Second chair is the space that brings the harmony to the entire sound of the orchestra, to the band, to the, it provides the depth. So you may have a lead instrument, but it's the second chair that is holding it all the way down, right? In no compromised words or tones. And so nobody is going for that. But if it is your lot or particular position in life to be second chair, I want anybody who's listening right now to know that that is still good enough. That is still okay to be, and it still provides a very, very valuable position to what we all need to hear the depth of the music, where we feel that bass drop, or where we feel different tonations, or where we feel X, Y, Z in a song or a music, or it's this, because we all grasp different things from melodies. That second chair has a position. So I want people not to ever feel discredited or counted out, or feel like because you are now in a new spot or a new position in life, whether that be in work, in marriage, in, you know, motherhood, and whatever that is that you're doing, know that that spot that you are in and you possess has a specific requirement for your story and possibly the story of others, but it also is the experience that you're supposed to be in right now. So, you know, what you share goes deep. No, go ahead. No.
You know, I also think it's important that everyone understands the power of not comparing yourself. Because the thing is, like, greatness, or the word great, or being great, or living your best life, or being successful, all of these things are completely relative to whatever your personal journey is. So whatever your curriculum for this time on earth is supposed to be, you know, and I think we do ourselves a big disservice when, number one, we feel the need to have other people's validation. You know, like, someone doesn't have to see your greatness for you to actually be great.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be witnessed or observed by another person. It's you doing the best you can, whatever that is, in each moment. That is your personal greatness. And whether or not 1,000 people know that you are alive, or 5 people know that you exist, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, you know? And I just think it's really important for people to really stand in the fact that, like, we are all just human beings. Nobody is better than you. Nobody is bigger than you. Like, it doesn't matter if someone is famous or not famous, or executing something really well, or they were able to pull it off in 5 years and you know, are pulling it off at a later point in life. Like, none of that actually matters. The journey is all that matters. Whatever your curriculum is all that matters. We have to stop allowing other people to be our rulers, to be our measuring points. Because even if you get to the greatest of whatever it is, then you're still not going to be happy. Then
that's correct.
There's still going to always be somebody, right? Like, no, we can't all be Beyonce. Beyonce is Beyonce. But the reason she's Beyonce is because she is doing the absolute best she personally can in every moment. So she's fulfilling her greatness. It's not because she has 100 to 200 million fans. That's cool, but it's just an offspring of whatever her personal journey was meant to be, and it doesn't make someone else's less or invalidated, you know?
That's absolutely true. I mean, you've really hit the nail on the head on that one. A lot of times people are aspiring to be, like you said, it's a comparative place that we are in now, especially with...
What a lot of us do is we can we aspire out of ego.
Yeah.
We aspire to be things and to be noticed because we think we'll love ourselves more if other people tell us we're worthy of love.
Mm.
We think we'll love ourselves more or like ourselves more or appreciate our lives more only if other people can validate that it's worthy. And that is not true. It's a false narrative, and it screws us up emotionally and mentally. And it really keeps you from your greatness, you know? Like, most people want to be things because there is some internal dialogue happening that has made them think that they're not enough, or they are trying to prove someone wrong or prove someone right from their past, from some type of childhood trauma, from something that was just not in a place of wholeness or in an alignment with who they are. And the fact is that if that is your motivating point to be quote-unquote successful, even if you do have the money or you change your circumstance or whatever, on a soul level, you'll still feel unfulfilled because your fulfillment is based on the validation of another living person.
Whew. When you talk about gems dropped, let me tell you, if you have not subscribed, y'all, make sure Debbie Brown is dropping all of the gems. And I am not going to manipulate too much more of her time because I am saving Debbie. She doesn't even know that I have big plans for her. And I'm actually going to be bringing her out to the Bay. We're going to lock and sync these calendars for some other things that are happening in our pipeline. But we are going to definitely work around her calendar to make sure that she is in the place to be so that you all can connect and feed off of all of this juiciness that she is giving to us. Like, you are definitely a gift in this particular universe. But I personally, I need to make a visit out to the ranch, Debbie, because I need a boot camp in this sound meditation and sound healing. And I can't meditate good to save my life. Like, I can't get my mind to sit still enough to not be thinking about what I need to get from the grocery store or whose pre-K project needs to be turned in tomorrow. Or, you know, like, I'm like, how do I still my mind in a way? So I'm going to plug in with you so that I can get a for real one-on-one tutorial on how to get this right. I mean, I've recently, you know, I bought Debbie's book. I got into my crystals. I wear my crystals. Look, I'm recharging my crystal because this sun is real bright out here in California. I'm getting my life. I'm making it my own and I'm loving this experience and I'm loving that I am able to lean on people like yourself, that have an insight and are intuitive, in such a way that they can share the knowledge and the insight that they have, with the rest of the world. And those of us who receive it, we do. And those of us who are not ready, one day they will. So I want you to tell the Candidly Coleman community, where can we lock in and find out more about Debbie Brown, what you're doing, where you're going to be, not only for you, but for all of your brands and for dropping gems?
Yeah, so I think it's so easy. If you just follow me on Instagram at Debbie Brown, that's D-E-V-I Brown, at Debbie Brown on Instagram, I have all the links up in my bio to everything. So it'll take you to my business page, which is karmabliss.com. It'll take you to my podcast, which is the Dropping Gems podcast on Apple. It'll take you to my personal website, which is debbiebrown.com. And if you can't remember all that because it's a lot, again, just go to my Instagram, which is at Debbie Brown. Hit follow, say what's up, and the link in my bio will lead you to all things me.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. I can't thank you enough, Debbie. And it's no coincidence that Devi actually means in Hinduism, goddess. And I'm just saying, we've been blessed with a real one, y'all, here on Candidly Coleman. Make sure you check her out on Debbie Brown, D-E-V-I, brown.com. Thank you so much, Deb.